as so often seems to be the way at present, I moved on as I was preparing these thoughts from where I was going to focus my thinking, namely the passage from Revelation, to the story of Elijah and Elisha from 2 Kings. And then as I pondered some more, I realized I needed to say something about both, because they link. So, I'm going to start with Revelation chapter 5. What a picture. The worship of heaven, the throne of the divine, and the opening of the great seals. There's living creatures, whatever they are. There's a lamb with seven eyes and seven horns. Interesting idea. There's elders, thrones, worship, probably a band. There's certainly a harp ensemble. There's a pretty big choir going on, and they're not physically distanced either. And there's smoke, certainly there's incense, which warms the Anglo-Catholic heart I have. And there's, well, maybe there, if the visioneer, St. John, the revelator, had had this idea in his head, there might even have been smoke machines and lasers and all the big budget Hollywood stuff. In fact, I think in the two readings we have today, they've blown the entire special effects budget for the whole Bible. But the purpose is, of course, to give us a glimpse into the beyond, the transcendent, not in a literal sense, but in the heart and in the imagination, to encourage us for an expansive way of feeling and being when we contemplate and engage our understanding of the divine. But as I often say, embrace the vision of Revelation, but please don't draw too much theology from it. It's not meant to be a theological treatise or a roadmap of the end of time or a description of how things actually are or will be. John of Patmos was a visionary, a seer, a dreamer. In the Anglican tradition, we call such mystical visionaries divines or mystics, as David reminded me just the other day in an email. Hence, it is probably this John that we call Saint John the Divine. Vision is something we need in our time, something the church needs all the time. If we are to imagine our way beyond where we are now into something new, visions of new ways of being and doing, holding on to that within our spiritual, traditional, ecclesiastical, musical, liturgical, and built heritage, which continues to be of value, but willing to jettison that which serves little or no purpose within a renewed church. We need visions, dreams, and imagination. Prophets, poets, musicians, and artists, dancers, and dreamers, to allow us to enter into a new world, a new and renewed Church of God. And talking of prophets and visions, the theme continues in our Hebrew scriptures. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 to 15. We have this passing of the mantle of Elijah to Elisha, his protege. But Elijah seems reluctant, telling the younger prophet to stay behind as he goes on to meet his destiny, to which Elisha responds every time, no. And still he persisted, until the senior prophet is taken up to heaven in a chariot. One of the only, just a piece of ecclesiastical trivia for you, one of the only, if not the only, person not to die in the Bible, but to be assumed into heaven, which has a whole load of implications, which I could be distracted by here, but I will resist. But it's enough to say, this story is mythological in scope, with very deliberate echoes of the Moses story and the crossing of the Red Sea to a new way of being. It's not literal, and the idea of a chariot of fire is a vision, not a historical account. It's also quite a good movie. What struck me, and the reason I keep coming back to this story rather than just concentrating on Revelation 5, is the reluctance to pass on the mantle, physically and metaphorical, which Elijah seems to have. And I thought how resonant this is to the church today. The church as a whole has not benefited from management consultants and strategists, particularly in the decline of the past years and the present day. Of course, the planners and the managers have a valuable place, but I honestly don't believe they are and cannot be who we place our faith into at this time. We need the visionaries, the poets, the imagineers, the dreamers, the artists and the musicians. We need the prophets, the outsiders, to be showing us the possibilities of new life for the church. And above all, we need those whose voices have been stifled and ignored, silenced, to give voice to a new reality. The leadership the church needs will come from the queer, indigenous, black, people of color, transgendered, and those across the broad spectrum of gender and sexuality. In order to do this, the structures which still privilege patriarchy need to be dismantled. The mantle must be handed on from old, white, cisgendered, straight men who still dominate the leadership of the church. And if, like Elijah, we, and yes, I do include myself in that, seem reluctant to step aside, the persistence of those who follow will be rewarded, for we will be called, we will be replaced. We need a new vision of church. We need new leaders who bring their diverse, imaginative, inspiring, powerful voices to the renewing of the body. Honestly, it seems like Elijah's words to Elisha when Elisha asked for a double portion of the Spirit, "It is a hard thing you ask," seems to be what the holders of power are saying. Those who still have the privilege, those of us not prepared to let, or not knowing how to, let these new leaders for the struggle of renewing the church stand up. It's time for the old white patriarchs to sit down and free the space for those who will lead.